Today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, and as Luke tells the story, Luke wants you to understand that a significant change is happening in the world, and that this significant change occurs as Jesus comes up out of the water. He goes into the water, and the world is dominated by its past, by old patterns, often old and unjust patterns. And when he rises out of that water, he begins a work of reorienting the world so that we are defined now by our future, not by our past. We are defined in Luke's gospel by the realm of God, the kingdom or realm or the beloved kingdom of God that is coming towards us and for which we are working. People often forget this. It's easy because we like tradition, and there's nothing wrong with tradition in the church, but what defines us is the end of time. What defines us is the realm that is coming to us. In theological language, we say that the church is eschatologically oriented. There's a mouthful for you. What it means is we're defined by our future, by the coming realm of God. So Luke does a really, really kind of fun job of it. I mean, he starts with John the Baptist and all of his preaching. And John says, look, if things keep going the way they are, the world falls apart. But there's one who's coming that you might want to get on board with. And this one who is coming that you might want to get on board with is going to light things up, going to set things on fire. And I think the author of the Gospel of Luke and perhaps John himself were using that imagery in both of its meanings. We say that a musician playing particularly vigorously and well is on fire. We say that a sports figure or a sports team that is particularly doing well in a particular game or event is on fire. And the idea there is drawing from the imagery of fire being dynamic, that it moves around, that it makes things happen. It cooks, it ignites, it sparks, it moves. So that the one way to talk about Jesus coming to light things on fire, he's coming to light it up, to make it happen, to put us into a dynamic mode of being in our spiritual lives. And John says that's a possibility for you. You can get on board with that and get lit up by the one who is coming. Or you can experience it as burning you, as awful and unpleasant. You have a choice, says John. In this way, what John is doing is he's preaching apocalyptically. Apocalyptic preaching says, if things go the way they are, this is what's going to happen and it's not good. But you can make a change if you want. And that's John's style of preaching, very apocalyptic. So Jesus comes the way Luke has John preaching. Jesus comes to set things ablaze, to light it up, to make it exciting, to make it happen. To be dynamic. And this pulls off of some very ancient themes. Psalm 29 that we heard this morning is a psalm about the sky god, the weather god in the ancient Near East, whose name was El. And in various cultures in the ancient Near East, El was in charge of the weather. And that since weather phenomena work off of power, off of energy, El is conceived of as a powerful god. The psalm says, the voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe. How do you make an oak tree writhe? Well, you put it in a really strong wind. Okay? This is El. And the Hebrews were saying, the God you call El is really our God. And then if you look at the end of the psalm, all that power, all the power of the storm god, the weather god, the god who expresses all this energy and the wind blowing and the lightning striking and the storms coming, at the end, all of that power of this storm god is put to work for people, for us. It's an important understanding of God being interested in working for our benefit. The same is true in the Isaiah reading. God comes and saves and restores Israel. And we have to remember that this isn't just national. Isaiah is trying to explain to Israel that they need to rethink their understanding of being chosen as not only being separate and special, but being chosen for the rest of the world, to show the rest of the world who God is and what God is up to. So when Jesus comes out of the water, he rises from the water and raises us into a new way of life that is connected to the understanding that our ancestors have always had of God, that God is powerful, that God works on behalf of human beings, that God is doing things to inaugurate a new realm, a new commonwealth, a new kingdom. And this God, who is so powerful yet works on our behalf, is the God whom Jesus embodies. So we can see and hear what God is like in the flesh in a way that we and understand. So the church has always celebrated this baptism and all baptisms. We've celebrated it historically with baptismal covenants of one sort or another. And when the church uses a baptismal covenant, what we're saying is, all right, so now life is new. It's reoriented. Jesus comes out of the water and turns us around, challenges us to turn from our obsession with the past and the way things have always been with, you can't fight City Hall. And Jesus turns us from that as he comes out of the water. We see the Holy Spirit descend and we hear the voice of God and we know that he is the one John was preaching about. He is the eschatological figure who points us in the direction of our future, points us in the direction of life with God in God's new realm. And so the baptismal covenants at the different ages when the church has used those, which it hasn't always done, but when it has, the church has used them as a way to say, so here is how to live oriented to the work that God is doing, to the work that we saw in Jesus. So that Jesus coming out of the water changes not only the world, but all of us. And so we talk about the apostles' teaching and fellowship because that's a way to live into the realm of God that is coming our way and to help make it happen. That's a way to be lit up. And we talk about continuing in the breaking of bread and the prayers, and we talk about respecting the dignity of every human being and proclaiming the good news and working for justice and peace. And all of the things that we talk about in our baptismal covenant are all ways to work with the flow of God's incoming grace, God's gifts, God's new kingdom coming our way. So that the change that Luke wants to show us with this baptismal story is a change that we can get on board with. And when we get on board with it, we start to live in a new way. So we renew our baptismal vows quite frequently. We renew them on the four baptismal Sundays and on the fifth one, which is when the bishop comes. We renew our baptismal vows. Sometimes we actually have baptisms to go along with it. Sometimes we don't. But we always renew our baptismal vows. It's part of our spiritual discipline. Because those vows are about how we live. And it's not about earning God's favor. It's about recognizing what God is doing. Because we love God. We're pretty thankful for Jesus. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And we want to do what God is doing. How fun is that? I mean, what could be better than doing what God is doing? What could be better than stopping being controlled by the way things are or the way they've always been, and to start with Christ making a new world, a new realm, a new way of being? That's why we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And that's why we renew our baptismal vows.